Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and good to be with you today. We woke up this morning in Bella Vista to a massive storm came through last night, and I wondered at around 3 o'clock in the morning if we were looking at a tornado. And while there's no reports of it, as I've been driving around after the blackout, the entire part of Bella Vista, for the most part, has been blacked out since around 10:30 last night. And as I said, around 3 o'clock in the morning, when the the storm was raging and the winds were blowing, I wondered, would there be a tornado around here? And this morning, waking up, it looks like there was. But mostly wind damage in areas where the streets are shut down, the first responders are out, the police are out, the fire department, the electric companies, power poles down, no electricity, no power. And it was interesting getting out on the streets and the redirect of traffic, and people didn't know where they were going. And there was, you know, this level of, I wouldn't say panic yet, but there was a level of definite, a peak of anxiety. Let's call it that for right now. And for the most part, people were handling it, but elderly people were driving around, didn't know where they were going. Stopped to one particular lady was following the crowd, and she was led into a cul-de-sac, which was a dirt road. And I rolled my window down. I said, you know, there's nothing back here. She says, I don't know where I am. So we were able to get out, get on a main road and find a way through. But one gas station that nobody ever goes to was the only one that was working with gasoline. So that place was packed and hopping. I'll get my gas from there from now on. And it's a pretty messy state. I mean, people have woken up today in Bella Vista, Arkansas, little old Bella Vista, and they've had some tough things happen to them. And just about everybody's had a little bit of damage. Now, we thank God in our home personally, we have zero damage. And for the most part, everybody else is doing well. And but all around us, we could see the but the one thing, by the way, we could see damages everywhere. But see, we have this generator, and this generator would run everything in the house. And about, I guess it was about a month ago, I went to start the generator, and it was full of gas. It had everything. But because we hadn't used it, it would just kind of grind but never start. And so I searched it out, and I had a neighbor tell me what to do about that. And, you know, the days went by, and it's just one of those things. You think, well, you know, we've got such a great, you know, grid, and you know, if there's ever a power outage, it's always back on, you know, in the next few hours. But today it's not back on. And it's a very interesting lesson. As I get my screwdrivers, I'm trying to find some help to get in here and get that going, not just for today. You know, I'm confident at this moment that the electricity will go back on in our little township here. But for the days that lie ahead, I think this is a real wake-up call. I know the devastated Puerto Rico is getting ready to get confronted by another hurricane that may hit even into the Florida area. These storms are amazing. You know, you see them on television, you hear about the flooding, you think about the fires, you hear about all that stuff. But when it starts getting close to your own existence, it's a whole nother ballgame. And what I noticed, the very first thing that you really, really have to be prepared for is not having your electricity on. I mean, that's important. It's the condition of your heart. You know, you're in your home, nothing's working, you have no electricity, you can't flip on a switch. Remember, we've talked about this for years and years and years. And, you know, by the end of today, our generator will be working fine and everything will be working. If they didn't bring any power, we're going to be fine. And I'm thankful to say that on our ark, everything is normal. We thank God for that. But it's interesting that the very first line of defense for something like this is your own heart. We've said it for a long time, and it's very true. that your own heart, how you're going to respond. Because once you step outside of your home and you travel out, and I had to get in the vehicle about an hour and a half ago and start getting the battery in my phone charged up, not just for, having a radio program today, but be able to contact people in our ecclesia and to make sure everything was all right. We were able to visit a few people, and that was a good thing. But, I needed to get power just from driving my car. And it's funny the little things that you have to deal with. So we're on a test run here. I really, really believe we are on a test run right now. And Bella Vista, Arkansas has just experienced either a mild tornado or the massive storm that came through last night, and it was blowing. I mean, we stepped out on our deck and it was blowing like crazy. And so everybody's fine. We're doing well. Looks like a lot of cleanup throughout this entire little place called Bella Vista will be necessary. And neighbors are, they're not even out yet. I'm in the driveway of our neighborhood and there's nobody. It's crickets. It's just lights out everywhere. And it's very, very interesting. But you go to the gathering places and lots of people are out there. Guys are going to be starting to cut trees and remove. And, the cleanup time comes right now, the cleanup time. But it's all very interesting. Those conveniences that we talk about all the time, get your hot water, put it in a microwave, heat up your coffee. It's every little convenience is not there any longer. And all of a sudden it's a struggle to kick in your mindset to, okay, what did we prepare for? Now we prepared for this. So what's the first line of business? And so you're at peace. You're now tapped in. Holy Spirit has prepared us, about these things, and you start going through it. But my failure personally was not getting that little carburetor thing pulled out. So I've got to do that today and get our generator running because we have whatever food is in our refrigerator. We want to keep it, as cool as we possibly can. And I know this is going to be fixed. I do. I get that in my heart. But I genuinely believe it's a wake-up call. It's a time of understanding. And that's not, we're not shouting on the bandwagon, the sky is falling. We already know what is coming. We know what is coming. And I've got a friend right now, Daniel's calling in. Let's see if I could get him. I don't even know if we can or not, but maybe so. And let's see if Daniel is there. Daniel, how are you today, sir?
I'm well. I'm good. I survived. It's good to talk to you.
Did you hear? You guys have power where you're at right now?
No, we don't have power at all. So Pastor Ken's just setting up the generator right now to get the power happening, which he's a little bit concerned about, considering we have all that meat in the freezer. So, yeah, so Pastor Ken's taking care of that
right now. Yeah, you want to keep your food cool. Yeah, definitely you want to keep your food cool. You got to eat for a few days. But so what does it feel like going through what you did? Did you hear the storm last night?
Oh, did I ever? It was pretty intense. And I actually looked at the storm warning that was actually on the Weather Channel app on my phone. And it was pretty, it was a very severe storm warning. And it was warning that that trees would come down and penny-sized hail. So, pretty intense storm. Just very happy to see that the damage isn't worse than it already is.
Yeah, I get that. And there are a lot of trees and power lines down. And unfortunately, you see those trees resting upon some people's homes. And so, Daniel, here we go. I mean, this is a test run. This is probably the longest that this area has had power out since last night. And normally you just kind of go, oh, the power went out. They'll have it fixed in the morning. Everything will be back to normal again. And yet here we are, and there is no power anywhere, zero, except for the people that have their generators or their backup power up and running. And so what an amazing moment. And, you know, again, we're not jumping on the bandwagon. We're hearing the Lord say, shh, you know, don't get, you know, emotionally involved and start panicking. It's the end of the world. But I do believe we are experiencing what perhaps the world or the country will one day experience through an electromagnetic pulse, through a coronal mass ejection, through a terrorist act against the power grid. One never knows. And this environment changes everything. The paradigm shifts immediately. And for the first part, people are pretty calm. People are, you know, there's a little anxiety going on, minor anxiety levels in the area. But you can see with the hours passing how people will become a little bit more concerned. And then, God forbid, you get into 3 days, 7 days, 10 days. You know, everything changes at that point.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We don't need to just spiritually prepare ourselves in the end times. In some aspects, we also need to practically prepare as well. Now, the thing is that there is a stigma attached with that. As you probably, you know, heard, there's all the doomsday preppers and, you know, and there's this crazy tin foil hat kind of a stigma associated with that, that the people who are preparing for last day scenarios are like, you know, nutty crackpots. But the truth of the matter is that we know that this kind of scenario is going to take place. All the signs are pointing in that direction, and the enemies have sworn that this is exactly what they want to do to the United States. We know that that Bible prophecy doesn't necessarily refer to the U.S. per se, because in the end times scenario. So we know in that regard, America's not going to be on the world stage. America's not going to be able to play a part in the last days in holding back the forces of darkness and being able to stop the nations of the world in attacking Israel. So that being the case, then America is going to be either gradually diminished or very, very suddenly, with a spectacular attack, will be basically taken offline. So considering that, those scenarios, it really is wise. It takes wisdom to actually to prepare practically, to, you know, get yourself some items that can actually ensure that you will be able to weather the storm, that you will be able to that you'll be able to outlast if there is such thing as a power outage, if the power grid goes down for a lengthy period of time. So all of those things provides wisdom. And also too, you know, many of us look at the parable of the 10 virgins and we all spiritually allegorize that. There's no question, we all do that. And there is a lot of sense and a lot of truth that comes out of spiritually allegorizing that, that we need to prepare our hearts. We need to acknowledge that, you know, that when persecution comes, that we'll be ready. But there's also a practical application to that parable as well. You know, like, the thing is that the foolish virgins did not realize that the night was going to be long. They did not realize that the groom was going to take a long time in coming. So have a real think about that. They did not realize that the night was going to be long. And this is why there's a bunch of teaching out there that says that people will all of a sudden be snatched away and they won't have to go through any hardship. They won't have to go through any trouble, any difficulty, because we'll all, you know, the tribulation will be going down here on the earth and we'll be up there celebrating the wedding supper of the Lamb. Listen, that kind of a teaching did not exist before 1833. It did not exist before 1833, since John Nelson Darby first proposed that idea at the Third Powers Court meeting in England. And so it didn't, that did not actually take place until then. And so people need, that being said, and considering that the early church, the patristic church history, had this expectation that the church would undergo tribulation, then we need to, it takes common sense to prepare our hearts and also to prepare practically for such a scenario. So I just think the best approach in regard to all this is to seek the Lord, ask God for wisdom, and to prepare both practically and spiritually.
Well, excellent admonition. Particularly, I love that phrase, and I think that was very Holy Spirit-led, that the foolish virgins did not understand how long the night would be, the longevity of the darkness, and that's when things begin to break down. Last night, Patricia and I, before going to bed, there was a National Geographic on about the drug epidemic in the world today, and they brought up Australia. It's the drug epidemic of crystal methamphetamine, or methamphetamine, and it talked about the 37 million people that are addicted to the methamphetamines and the prisons that are full. So here you have a lights out scenario. About 9 years ago or so, maybe 10, Joplin, Missouri, 70 miles north of here, there was a F5 tornado that devastated. It was a war zone. We went up there to check that out and to be as helpful as we could back in those days. It was a war zone, and anybody that was there knows it was an absolute war zone. Nothing existed, like a nuclear bomb had hit the place. And now what you have to deal with in a scenario like that is not only do you have all your necessities ready to go, where you can use them, things are set up, but now you have people that have been high on methamphetamine, smoking it, shooting it, snorting it, and you'd have now the violence and the gang mentality and the criminal element that creeps into your society. This is where things really begin to break down. And what we don't understand, 30 days, that's a 30 days of a lights out scenario like that in a state or even in a city would bring tremendous turmoil. And so I have to believe that God has been at work awakening people to prepare mentally, spiritually, physically, and to be ready to go and quietly, you know, minding our business, but also realizing even in the best case scenario, the best case, there are elements that we are all going to have to adjust to as we go. But again, yesterday we talked about how the first time grace was mentioned was at the time of the deluge, the flood. Well, God gave grace. Noah found grace, and he was able to prepare his ark right before that flood hit the earth. And we are encouraging people today, for whatever reason, the wake-up call is here. And this is a very small thing in Bella Vista. But the major things that we've seen going about, it is devastating. And if there's an event coming that's going to fulfill the Amos chapter 8 Bible prophecy, people need to start really moving into their prepared places. And so the last several hours has been just a time of really going to prayer, thinking about things, and making ready. Your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, Jesus said, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. I think that's a real key there. That's a really important thing to pray. We need to pray so that when everything comes down the pike, when everything comes to a head, when everything basically comes to its final conclusion, then we need to make sure that we're going to be ready for it. And more than that, we need to pray that God will provide, give us the grace. Just like you said, Pastor Vincent, we need to pray that God will give us an abundance of grace in that time, because we're going to need as much grace as we can possibly get. So we need to ask that God will pour out his grace upon us when the time comes and when everything comes to a head and the time of trouble finally arrives, so that we will be able to withstand that time. Jesus said, seven times he said, to him who overcomes, I will give this. To him who overcomes, I will give this. To him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. Seven times he said that. In other words, in the last day scenario, it's going to be a time of overcoming. Remember what Jesus said. He said, but he who stands firm to the end. He who stands firm to the end. That's talking about the end times saints. It's talking about the last days Christians, the people who are in the trouble. He says that he who stands firm to the end shall be saved. Shall be saved. That is so important. We need to pray that we may be able to escape all that is about to happen. That is the imperative. That is extremely important. And I do that on a regular basis. In fact, as I go through my seasons when I do prayer and fasting, in those times I pray that God will make provision for me and my family when the great trouble comes. And I also ask that that he will have me in the circumstances in which we will be able to survive and which we'll be able to be in a really good position. So these are the things. It's really wise to pray that prayer, to pray that that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. So remember, Jesus said that in the context of the end times. So this is not something to be concerned or to throw your hands up and be worried or to panic. We should not panic at all. Absolutely all. We just need to follow the instructions of Jesus. We need to follow the Word of God, and we don't need to be apprehensive. We don't need to be upset. We don't need to be panicking. We just simply need to rest in the peace that Jesus gives, the peace beyond all understanding. So we just need to follow the Lord and follow his voice, and to pray that we may be able to escape what's going to be happening in the last days, and that that he will pour out his grace upon us.
Well, well said. And let's take it to the further scenario. And I know we don't like hearing about scenarios, but we're living in a day where churches everywhere across this country are hiring active shooter, trainers to come to their churches because it's real. It's really something people are seeing as a problem, active shooters. And so they have to go through all these different scenarios. So we take this scenario of a tiny little thing like today, but things that we have seen in a more devastating way, like Joplin, Missouri. Well, if you get that scenario going where all of a sudden your cell phones are gone, there are no gas stations pumping gas anymore, you can't get to a bank to get some cash to pay some guy to come start your generator for you, there's no lights, the water's not running, all of a sudden this goes on for a long period of time. Now, there have been scenarios where this actually happened and people had to come in and save the day, like in Puerto Rico with that massive storm that they've had to deal with, the hurricane last year, I think it was. So how do people, because, today we're not going to panic. Today we're not going to worry. Today we wake up, we're making our way through. So today we're okay. You take this 30 days down the road and there's nothing and martial law has now been enforced in your city because the violence that is erupting, now you have the possibility of an event going on for months. And our experts tell us, Daniel, that in the first 30 days, over 30 million people will be dead in the United States with a lights out scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. And the 30 million, the vast majority of them will all be people who have not prepared. All people who have not prepared for such a scenario.
Well, absolutely. And they're going to be elderly people in hospitals. There's going to just people, you know, the scenario changes. And today we say, well, thank you, Jesus. That's not the case. Yes, we've had our problems, but we've never had a collective lights out scenario. And yet, like you said a few minutes ago, is that not the intended purpose of the enemies of America as we're dueling with China, as Russia is watching? And are we not dueling with the Nation of Islam and Iran, that they would want to employ this kind of, you know, detonation within our nation to wipe out the electrical grid just to bring us to this scenario?
Exactly. And remember, I don't believe it's just going to be America that's going to be targeted. I think it's going to be other Western nations as well, including Australia. In other words, the Christian nations that have this, the ability to hold the peace within the world, to hold, to restrain evil nations back, these nations, I believe, will be the ones that will be specifically targeted. You know, we talk about the restrainer that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when there's a lot of speculation over that, whether this restrainer is actually the Holy Spirit or whether this restrainer is the church, what constitutes that. Well, I believe that the restrainer is actually spoken of in Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, it says that it will happen exactly for a time, times and half a times. In other words, it's for 3.5 years. When will this happen? It says that it will happen when the power of the holy people is broken. When the power of the holy people is broken. And so I believe that the time will come when these Western nations, when the power that they have in restraining the evil plots of evil nations, the time will come when the power of the holy people will be broken, and they will be basically, they will lose their power, they will lose their influence, and then evil will be able to launch itself onto the world stage. And of course, what is the number one agenda? Well, the number one agenda, once America has been neutered, is to attack the nation that God loves, his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. They are going to go after Israel and to destroy Israel, and America won't be able to hold back those nations in achieving that purpose. And the other thing, of course, too, is that once the military has been neutered and once all authority has been decimated, then of course lawlessness will reign supreme, and it'll be chaos. But again, we need to pray that we may be able to escape all that is going to happen.
Well, what an excellent point. And you bring up a very important point, because right now, like in our tiny little microcosm of an experience we're having, in comparison to others that have been devastated, and then thinking about the things that would come, right now, you know, something goes down, your tree falls in your yard, a tree lands on your house, your neighbor's there to help you. You know, you need some coffee, your neighbor's there, they're there. And if the neighborhood is broken down, then you have outside neighbors to come in. But you're talking about a time when there will be no neighbor, and that every neighbor will be turning in panic, wanting what other people have. And so there's no one there. I mean, there's no police department. There's no, you know, what are you going to do in a scenario like that if you're stuck in the trap? That's very important to understand. Patricia Joy is with us right now. I want her to have an opportunity to say whatever is in her heart this morning. Good morning, Patricia. Daniel's on the line. How are you? You can speak right into these microphones nice and loud.
Could you hear me?
Daniel, can you hear Patricia?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, Daniel. You woke up to a very interesting situation. Are you okay where you are?
Yeah, I'm over in Gravett, and there's a lot of different small branches that are down all over the place. The driveway, which I'm walking up and down at the moment, is littered with small branches and leaves. But that's what I can see. That's the only thing that I can really see at the moment. I haven't ventured out into the neighborhood to see of any other damage. But I tell you what, Pastor Ken, Peggy, and myself were actually playing cards last night. We were playing cards when the blackout hit. So Luckily, I had my phone next to me, which I could turn the light on. But, yeah, and then we found some candles. You put the candles on, and we kept playing cards.
That's the way to go. And those who do not fear are the ones that are going to stand in these days that are coming. This is just a little tiny, small experience in compared to what would be. But it gives you a taste of how it's going to be. And what I keep thinking about is the word overcome. And I believe that we as Christians need to center our thoughts and will on the desire to overcome. And, you know, this emphasis is in the seven letters in the book of Revelation. And it says it in this way, which I love, in the book of Revelation 21:7, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, oh my goodness, see, this is a time where we cannot and should not fear. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, those that are dealing with drugs when you translate that particular word, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, then, who should we fear? We should fear our God, because to fear him, not in the manner in which most people understand fear, but knowing how awesome he is and how he will judge what is wrong, we should fear him, because that's the beginning of wisdom. How do you feel about that?
Well, absolutely. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we are living in a time where nobody, well, not nobody, but very few people fear the Lord. And it should not surprise us that these people who do not fear the Lord are embracing all manner of delusions. And again, you know, in Romans chapter 1, which basically accurately describes a last days generation, it describes a last days society. It says they thought that they were wise, but they became fools. And so, you know, and again, when the reality comes, when everything comes down the pike and disaster hits, it will be the wise. It will be the wise that will be the ones that will be able to prevail. The foolish, the ones that did not heed the warnings of the Lord, they will be the ones who will find it very, very, very difficult. You know, and if we were to actually look at, again, the parable of the 10 virgins, you know, it says that five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. The five of them were the ones that were prepared. They knew that their master could take a long time, and they prepared that the night would be long, whereas the others, they did not have the wisdom, they did not have the insight for that. And you know what's interesting, it's really, really fascinating, is that it says that five of them, in other words, it's saying that 50%, it says that 50% did not prevail, 50% did not make it. And 50% of them did make it. They heard the voice of they waited until the end. They knew that the night was going to be long, and they heard the voice of the bridegroom, and they went out to meet with him. So, yeah. So there's a lot there to consider.
And I believe the reason for that, more than any other, is because of the unbelief. Today we're dealing with individuals that are having a very difficult time, especially the young millennials, very difficult time believing that there is a God, or one, if he is, isn't the kind of God we know that cares and loves and desires the better things for the individual, that they may have life and life more abundantly, they see him as someone who is taking away their rights to behave in the manner and fashion in which they desire to behave, which is totally, at this point, becoming immoral. Totally immoral.
Yeah, absolutely, with that young generation. We have a call coming in right now. I want to bring this caller into the broadcast, 479-586. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing great by the grace of God. Yes, sir, we are here.
Well, amen. I want to throw a little bit of a twist on your 30-day scenario, Pastor. If you look at most of these cruise ships that break down out in the middle of the ocean, generally within 36 to 72 hours, there's complete, you know, chaos and people are running rampant. You go without power and all that. You got to understand, you made a comment earlier about the meth heads and all that. They're going to do what they do, okay? They're going to go ahead, and they know when they have an opportunity to do something bad. So when things go bad or the power goes out or you got a grid down scenario, you've got maybe 24 to 48 hours tops before you start seeing total chaos. And that is total. That's it. You got 24 to 48 hours, and then it's gonna snowball. It'll be like a big snowball going down a mountain, and it's gonna pick up momentum. And by then, your first responders and stuff are gonna say, "Forget this. We're gonna go home and take care of our families." So I think you're, and I'm not trying to be, you know, contrary or nothing, but I think your 30-day scenario is about 25 days too short. Anyway.
Well, time will tell, that's for sure. But you bring up you bring up an excellent point. I want to get this thought out there real quick about the first responders, because I was traveling around this morning, and I was kind of rolling my window down and thanking the guys out there that are putting the power poles back up, and I was looking at the police officers maintaining a level of control, you know, guiding people in the right direction. And, you know, I thought that myself. I thought, you know, these silly people in this country that are, you know, throwing water. Well, these are the animals in the inner cities throwing water on police officers. People, you know, on the left discouraging them from doing their job. And we could go, you know, infinitum, et cetera, et cetera. So go ahead and finish up your thought about what you were saying, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Bristol. This is Michael Villarin. How are you?
I'm doing good, Michael. How
you
are
there?
You?
Good.
I'm
hey,
here.
I want to bring up two things, and I'm enjoying what I'm hearing in the awareness and how we react to, you know, sudden things that kind of just disrupt our lifestyle. I just remember how much we kind of panic when we can't find our car keys or our wallet or our phone, and those are just small things. And you see how you react to that when you don't have those three. You go, oh no, my wallet, my purse, my keys. And you know how I've seen how many times we kind of just go, oh no, my life's bent out of shape. But I want to bring up something that I've witnessed in an earthquake that happened out in San Diego, and I was down at the beach, and it was a Mother's Day, and there was several bars, and we're at a beachfront restaurant, and I got done with my meal early, and I went outside and I looked at the ocean, and I was sitting down, and all of a sudden, you know, there was like, you can hear the bar, the people, you know, getting loud, there was a lot of noise, but all of a sudden there was this earthquake. The telephone line started waving, you know, the ground started shaking, and after that, Pastor Vincent, you can hear a pin drop in the area. All the bars went silent. Everybody ran out of the restaurant. But I liken to this. Maybe if you think about that, the sixth seal, when that great earthquake is going to hit. I mean, it's going to probably silence everybody to a point of awareness, like what's going on. And after that earthquake that happened in San Diego a little bit, fire trucks, the sirens started hearing going out of their station. So it was kind of an awareness that things can happen suddenly, and are we prepared for it?
Mm. Good point.
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, go ahead, Daniel. You got some thoughts to share?
Oh, well, I was just saying that what Michael was saying was absolutely spot on. See, we don't realize that things could actually happen very, very, very quickly. And this is also, too, with what another great scenario was what happened on 9/11. See, America had no idea, they were completely caught off guard of the spectacular nature of the attack. I mean, the attack on September 11 will never be forgotten. I mean, we all remembered where we were when we heard that news, just like as we all remembered where we were with the moon landings or where we were with the assassination of JFK. But we all remembered where we were when the September 11 attacks took place. And so don't ever take yourself off guard. Always prepare yourself to know that a spectacular attack is not outside of the possibilities, of the realm of possibilities. And so we need, again, as we were saying before, there's two aspects to our preparation. There is our spiritual preparation in regard to praying and asking God to prepare our hearts for such a scenario, but there's also the practical application as well that we need to prepare for such a scenario. So, yes, we need to, when looking at September 11, the attack that came upon America was spectacular in nature, and I believe that what we saw with September 11 was a glimpse. It was a foretaste. It was a foreshadowing. That was it was a warning signpost to America to say that if you do not repent, then if you do not repent after this warning, then there will be a cataclysmic event that will overshadow September 11 and will be utterly devastating. So this is the reality that we need to face. And again, I'm someone from the outside looking in. And I can also say too, you know, here's the thing, and this is why I'm so passionate about America, and this is why I have so much love for America, is that America needs to be strong. America has to be strong, because if America goes down, we all go down. Australia is not going to come to your rescue. We do not have the military capability to be able to do that. Neither is anybody else in the world. So I believe with what Ronald Reagan said was right. He said, if we lose our freedom here, there's no other place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Well, yeah, very powerful words. And as you're talking, and as Michael was sharing, and Mike was sharing, and Bill and Tony and Frank, the thing is, I'm having an epiphany of a dream that Patricia just reminded me about. And this dream was as real as the dream I had on August 2nd, a few weeks ago, about active shooters, two of them in my dream, that happened within hours of each other. And this dream I had years ago was a time when I was walking out onto the beach. And as I was walking out on the shoreline, there were bleachers to my left and a bunch of people smoking pot, drinking beer, partying. And I was going to go over and minister to them. And the Holy Spirit said, leave them alone. And so I just kept walking out. And I stood where the sand ends and the water meets the sand on the beach. And I'm just looking out. In the dream, as clear as crystal, I saw a massive wall of water. And I always remember saying that it was far away, like 300 miles away. It was just way out there. And I was looking at that massive wall stretching from what I believe was from the tip of San Diego, the southern tip of San Diego, all the way up to the Oregon area and north, a massive wall of water. And I looked at it. I had zero emotion, and I just went, huh. And I turned around, and again, I was going to go to the people at the bench and warn them, And the Holy Spirit said, leave them alone. And at that moment, a friend of mine came up to me in the dream and said, I need to know what you just saw. And so I didn't really know what to say. And I looked up and I saw the call letters in this big freeway sign, H-I, and then on the far right, D. But what is striking about that right now to me is that I believe that I understand why that wave was so far away, because this was back in 2006, I believe. And I believe the Lord was saying, this is something that is going to come in the distant future, a distant future. And I believe that that wave, if the Lord would ever open my eyes to see that dream again, that that wave is a lot closer now. And it's what you're referring to. It's what others are referring to. And the first line of business, I think, in people's lives better be their heart and really, really make sure that their heart is right. Because, you know, when I'm out there, I just know that people's hearts are going to be the main issue. And regardless of how prepared people are, if your heart is not right, you're going to cause a lot of problems by saying things you ought not to be saying, or not in the right place to say them. And it's an arrogant, proud spirit that most are going to have to deal with in the days ahead, Daniel. I'm telling you, it's a time of humility.
Yeah, I've said this time and time again, but America is going to be chastised. America is going to experience a great humbling, a great, great, great humbling. And, you know, and people, I guess, ask the question, well, what is that going to do for the church? Well, I think for the church, it will purge the church. It will, the ones who are flaky, the ones who are not discipled, the ones who have one foot in the world and the other foot in the church, these ones will fall away when the great distress comes, when the great trouble comes. But the real church, the remnant of the church, will prevail. They will be the ones that will that the Lord will keep and will provide for and will look after when everything comes to a head. And so, again, as in the words of Jesus, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen.
Yes, absolutely true that he will keep us in a state of grace all the way through. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And we are right now in a very disobedient generation. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And the purging that is needed is truly for Israel and for the church. This is the purging that we are receiving, and it will grow in strength and momentum. And in Hebrew, I love the scripture in Hebrew because it keeps our minds and hearts centered where it ought to be. It says in Hebrew, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You notice that the word evil heart is used for unbelieving, the unbelieving, and in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And this is still the day of divine grace, an opportunity to trust God, but it will not last much longer.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So what we're talking about today, if you're just tuning into the broadcast, we have had quite a storm here in Bella Vista, which has provoked a conversation about our preparation. And I want to make sure that the phone number 479-586, everybody's exhausted their thoughts over there just before we move on. Anybody on that line that wanted to share anything else?
Pastor, the thing about it is that when it happens, that people have to understand that those that are bad people, they understand what's going on. They're going to take advantage of the situation. And it's the people that, like Daniel said earlier, they weren't aware of the time, the 10 virgins, the 5, that they just weren't aware of the time. And their oil wasn't full. and you know, there's going to be a lot of good people that are going to be caught blindsided because they didn't have any oil in their land and they weren't aware of the time. And we need to be aware of the time more than ever.
Yes, and that's why we have this radio broadcast and many others out there, so that we can continue to sound the alarm, that we can continue to wake people up, as many as that have an ear to hear or are led by the Holy Spirit to radio programs like these. And I think, Daniel, you brought up an excellent point a while ago, that there is a stigma attached to preparation. And normally what happens at moments like these, when, you know, a localized storm comes, you know, we start jumping on the bandwagon and shouting out, you know, the sky is falling. But the reality is that the sky in America has been falling for a very long time and around the world. And if you cannot discern the times and you don't know that it's time to make preparations, then, you know, people will get caught off guard. So I believe that over airwaves, and then we are the speaking spirits in the world. Every one of us that are born again, spirit-filled, and have the understanding of these times, we are the voice box to our neighbor, where we go shopping, where we're out there and about there. We need to tell people what we have learned by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God.
And I also believe that we must enter into His rest. He's calling us to this right now. We're at a place and time where this little incident really stirred multitudes of people, like, whoa, what is going on? And I can see the anxiety and hear the anxiety in the voices of the people around and about. And this was just much of nothing compared what will if we don't consider coming into His rest. So be not unbelieving, but believing, and come into His rest. We are trying to tell you that by doing so, you're going to sail through, and you're going to do so in a way that may be the most joyful time you have ever known. And the most wonderful of all is the entrance into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Daniel Son, we have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. Some final words to those that are tuned in right now, and if anybody else is listening out there and you'd like to call into the program, the number to call is 818-369-0326. We'd be more than happy to hear from you, 818-369-0326. Daniel.
Yeah, well, I've used this analogy a number of times before, but I honestly believe that the analogy of a married pregnant woman when she finds out that she's pregnant, you know, is a really great example. You know, when a married couple have been trying for a baby and they've been longing to have a baby, and then she finally gets the news that she's going to have a baby, she finds out that she's pregnant, initially there's great joy. There's great joy to know that the baby is on its way. But then there is this knowing, this feeling in the back of her head, knowing that she is going to have to go through a time of great tribulation. There is a time where the pregnant mother knows that within 9 months, she knows that she is going to be in labor, and it's going to be a very challenging time for her. And she is going to be experiencing pain, that which she has never experienced in her entire life. But here's the thing is that the joy and the hope that comes from knowing that the baby is coming and that the baby will arrive and that a new life is coming into the world, is the joy that overrides that knowing of going through trouble, of going through the tribulation. And so we have to keep that expectation. We have to keep that scenario in mind. Like, yes, there is going to be trouble. There is going to be tribulation, but the baby is coming. And if you are excited about Jesus coming and reigning and establishing His millennial reign on the earth, then you need to get excited about the fact that He has the grace. He will be able to grace you to endure through the tribulation when it comes.
Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful way to go out. The grace of God the grace of God. We talked about it yesterday for an hour, the amazing, wonderful grace of Almighty God. We're getting some just some text messages of people that are wanting to know how everybody's faring. We're faring very well. We hope you're faring very well. What Patricia said just a moment ago is that, you know, this has been a very minor event, but it is definitely a wake-up call to make sure that everything in your first line of defense is ready to go. And we have labored for years to make sure that God's people would be taken care of. We have labored for years to prepare so that when events like these happen, we would be in a place that God has selected, that God will watch over you. And you need to know that your house can be a Goshen. You need to know that all around you, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you.
Amen.
And you need to know and be confident that the grace of God is upon your life. And as God protected Noah, he will take care of you. But if the Spirit of the Lord tells you, prepare your ark, you need to be obedient and prepare the ark. It's not always for yourself. Sometimes it's just for some people along the way that God wants to take care of. So we just want to go out today saying, today we were able to get on the radio. Today we were able to sit in our truck and come through to be able to broadcast a message, and that's today. There may be a day that we can't get to the airwaves. There will be no cell phones. There will be no power. But we definitely do not believe that every day is going to be okay. A day is coming in America. We call it the American disaster is on the way. The book of Amos has told us that something, like Daniel said, greater than 9/11 is going to hit this country. There will be many dead bodies in many places. This is unfortunate. This is painful. This hurts. But it's a reality because of our wickedness against God, and the days of God winking seem to be coming and drawing to an absolute end, even though the crisis has been around us for a very long time. Much time has been granted for repentance. So we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to say goodbye right now to everybody. Daniel, thank you for joining me on the air. Thank you for the phone calls. Keep your head up, saints. Be inspired. Get done what you need to get done. If you need batteries, go get batteries. Whatever you need to do, get it done. Today's a great day to do it. Shalom and God bless everybody. We'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until we meet again, goodbye.